And our reading from God's Word this evening is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. Last week we looked at the second half of chapter 3 and its injunction that we should love one another. And amongst other things, we saw that as we love one another, so we gain assurance that we are of the truth. And at the end of that section, we also read that by this we know that he, namely Christ, abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given to us. And having mentioned the Spirit, John proceeds to write as he does in the section that we shall read this evening. So let us listen carefully now to the living word of the living God. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Please have your Bibles open at that passage that we read earlier on from the book of 1 John. You remember that John was writing to a group of churches that were being afflicted by false teachers, by those who were had one time been part of these churches, but had since left the churches and were now propagating error and even heresy, and so John writes this letter to these churches to bring assurance to them that they really are of the truth and that they belong to God. And he writes because, of course, error is a serious problem. It's a real danger to speak error, to believe error, to follow error. And that's why John, as a loving pastor, is so concerned for these churches, lest they too fall into the error that's being propagated by these false teachers. Error was a problem back then in John's day, and it's still a problem in our day as well, both in the world, of course, but also, sadly, in the church as well. In fact, it's a much more serious problem in a sense when you see error in the church, because we should be proclaiming the truth as it's manifested in Jesus Christ and in his word. And so John is writing because to believe and to follow error is such a serious issue. And that's why he says at the beginning of this section of his letter, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets, and of course there he's referring to these men who have gone out from their churches, many false prophets have gone out into the world. Just notice the danger that they are in. He says many false prophets have gone out into the world. Not just a small number, not just a few, but many false prophets, those who perhaps claim to be Christians, those who claim to be teaching the truth, who say you can rely upon us, you can rely upon the fact that we are teaching the truth, but who are in fact teaching error. And John is saying you need to be able to distinguish truth from error. And this is an expression of love, of course. He's a loving pastor. He wants them to be able to distinguish truth from error so that they don't go down the same path as these false prophets. And so he says to them, you must test the spirits, test what these men are saying to see whether they are from God or not. That's the real focus here in this passage. Test the spirits to see whether they are from God or not. And what John does in this section is to give two related tests by which the believers to whom he is writing might discern truth from error. Two tests by which they might be able to discern whether what people are teaching is actually of the Spirit of God or whether it comes from the spirit of the Antichrist. And this evening we'll look at those two related tests and seek to apply them to ourselves in our own context. The first test is this, and this is really the key, the fundamental test by which you may be able to discern truth from error. And it's the test of what you believe about Jesus. It's the test of what someone says about Jesus. This is the great test by which you may be able to discern truth from error. John says in verse 2, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. You can distinguish, in other words, those who are from God from those who are not from God by what they believe, by what they say about the person of Jesus. Do they say that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? If they do, then such teaching, John says, does indeed come from the Spirit of God. Do they deny that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? Then, John says, such teaching does not come from the Spirit of God. It's clear, isn't it? It's a relatively simple, straightforward test. And anyone, he says, who denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, is speaking from, as he puts it at the end of verse 3, the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. And of course, he is speaking very much about these false teachers who were once a part of these churches. It's quite remarkable to think that. They were once a part of these churches. They would have been professing Christians. In fact, still probably are professing Christians, but they would have been looked up to perhaps as those to emulate. And now they have gone out, and John is saying that they are false prophets who are speaking from the spirit of the Antichrist. He does not mince his words, does he? They are speaking from the spirit of the Antichrist because, for whatever reason, they are denying that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. In other words, everything hinges on your doctrine of Christ, especially in this context, his humanity, his real flesh and blood humanity. Everything, John says, hinges upon that doctrine, that truth about the person, the identity of Jesus Christ. And this, you see, is what those who had left the church were denying. And that is exactly what later heretics denied as well. You might have heard of the Gnostics or the Docetists, those who just said that Jesus Christ seemed to have flesh, but he didn't really. People in those days, I don't know, maybe influenced by Platonic ideas perhaps about the inferiority or even the evil of the flesh. They were saying Jesus Christ is God. They didn't deny that, but they did deny that he was also a real flesh and blood man. And John insists in strong language that such denials come from the spirit of the Antichrist. And he insists that Jesus, the Son of God, who is fullness of deity, is also flesh and blood man. And maybe you wonder, why is John so insistent upon this matter? Apart from the fact, of course, that it is true and it's important to speak the truth. But what is so significant, you might ask, about the doctrine that Jesus really did come in the flesh, that he has the status of a real flesh and blood man? The significance is this, that viewed from one perspective, the whole gospel depends upon the truth, the reality of the incarnation. Think about it. It is flesh and blood, human beings, men and women, boys and girls, it is flesh and blood, human beings who have sinned. And it's therefore flesh and blood, human beings who need saving, who need to be saved from their sin. And we need a man to do this for us. We need a man to represent us. Because, of course, it's we who are guilty and we who must atone for our sin. But, of course, we need more than a mere man, don't we? We need more than a mere man because a mere man is a sinner, just like the rest of us. We don't just need, in other words, a man to represent us. We also need God, who is able to save us. We need someone who is both God and man. We need the God-man. We need God in the flesh. We need, in short, Jesus Christ. That is why it is so significant that you affirm that Jesus Christ is both fully God and fully man. And that you insist upon it to the death. It is crucial. This isn't just academic theology. This has massive implications for the gospel, for salvation, for your life, and indeed for your death. Put it this way. If Jesus Christ is not flesh, and he continues to be flesh, of course, if he is not flesh, then you have not been saved. It's that stark. If Jesus Christ is not flesh, then you are still in your sins. That is why it is so important to insist upon the truth that he did indeed come in the flesh, that he was a real flesh and blood man, as well as being the eternal Son of God. You know, I get into trouble with my wife if I tell people that she's from England. Sometimes I wind her up in a kind of loving way by saying that she's from West England. And of course that aggravates her a little bit, because being Welsh is a vital part of her identity, of who she is. She doesn't like to be told that she is English. She is most definitely Welsh. And if I can put it this way, being incarnate is an even more vital part of Jesus' identity. You grieve him, you grieve God seriously if you take away that part, that intrinsic part of who he is. And you also undermine, even destroy, the whole gospel of salvation. That is why John insists so strongly upon this truth, and why he says these men, able men, nice men, no doubt, why he insists that they are speaking from the spirit of the Antichrist. And he then goes on to assure the readers that he's writing this letter to. He goes on to assure them that they are from God in verse 4. Little children, he says, you are from God. Just as an aside, I haven't really picked up on this before, but just notice the number of times that John throughout this letter addresses his readers as little children, or as dear children, or as beloved. The love that he had for these people is palpable, isn't it? It's evident. And that's the sort of love that certainly a pastor ought to have for his people. Little children, he says, you are dear to me. You are from God. He's seeking to assure them, you are not of the Antichrist. You are not of the evil one, like these men who have gone out and are spouting heresy. No, you are from God. And then he goes on to tell them that they have overcome them. He says, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. And he's speaking there of these false prophets, these false teachers, these anti-Christian spirits. And how have they overcome them? Well, by the Holy Spirit. He says, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. The Spirit of God is far greater, far more powerful than the spirit of Antichrist. And you need to take that to heart this evening, because sometimes the evil that you see in the world and that you see perhaps in your own heart can seem altogether overwhelming and even omnipotent, all-powerful. Such an unstoppable force sometimes. And John is saying here, little children, you are battered and bruised. You are afflicted by these false teachers. But remember this, you've not succumbed to them. You've overcome them. How? Well, by not believing their lies, by holding fast to apostolic doctrine. And how have you managed to do that? By the Spirit who is in you, by he who is in you, who is greater than the world. And the implication is this, if the Spirit was not in you, then you, like these men, would be going off spouting heresy. You know, the reason that you tonight confess that Jesus Christ did come in the flesh, the reason that you are believers this evening is because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. The Spirit of God is far greater, far more powerful than he who is in the world. And he is the one who enables you to confess that Jesus Christ truly has come in the flesh. So that's the first test, and that's really the vital test, the test of what you believe about Jesus, the test of what you say about Jesus. That is what determines whether what someone says or believes is true or false. The second test related to it is this, the test of who you listen to. The test of who you listen to. Let me read verses 5 and 6. John says, they, speaking obviously of the false prophets, are from the world. Therefore they speak from the world and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And you can see the point that John is making, can't you? He is saying that anyone who listens to these false teachers is from the world, and so they believe the spirit of error that is spouted by these false teachers. By contrast, anyone who listens to us, in other words, the apostles, apostolic truth, anyone who listens to us is from God and knows the spirit of truth. In other words, who you listen to, and the implication is who you listen to and believe, who you listen to with believing ears, who you listen to reveals what kind of spirit you have, whether you have the spirit of truth or the spirit of error. Are you listening to false teaching, or are you listening to true, pure apostolic doctrine as it's found in God's word? And there is a general principle underlying this statement that John makes, and it's this. By and large, people listen to what they want to listen to. They listen to what they want to listen to. They listen to people who are like them, who, as it were, speak the same language as them, who have the same outlook as them. Why is it that people listen to false teachers both then and now? It's because, as John says, like false teachers, they are from the world that is in opposition to God, the world that is in rebellion against God. Like the false teachers, they speak from the world, they think like the world, they share the same basic values of the world. And so, they listen to those who are from the world, they listen to what false teachers say. They like what they hear, they want to listen to them. By contrast, why is it that people listen to the apostles? Why is it that they listen to Christian truth? It's because, John says, like the apostles, they are from God. They speak from God. They share the same basic values as the apostles. And so they listen to what the apostles say. I don't know if you've ever been in a foreign country surrounded by people speaking a foreign language, and then all of a sudden you've heard someone speaking English or whatever your native tongue may be, and your ears just prick up because you hear someone that speaks the same language and you think, oh, I can understand them. I want to listen to them. It's someone that I can actually speak to and understand. The same is true, in a sense, of the sort of spiritual language, if I can put it that way, that someone speaks. Those who are from the world that is in opposition to God, will listen to those who are from the world. They speak the same language. They think the same way. They are of the same nature. That is why they listen to false prophets. Whereas those who are from God will speak and think in the same kind of ways and language as those who speak the truth of God. Have you ever wondered why people do not listen to you? Do not listen to you when you speak the gospel? In many ways, it's because you are speaking a foreign language to them, a language that they simply do not understand because they are of the world. They are of the world that is opposed to God, the world that does not like to hear the language of the gospel, the message of the gospel that says you are a sinner in the sight of God who needs to be saved. That kind of language, that kind of message hurts their pride. And so they don't listen. They do not want to listen. Do not be surprised, in other words, when people simply do not listen to you, when they shut their ears to you. Pray that God would give them ears to hear. That is their only hope. And praise God, sometimes he does indeed give them ears to hear, but not always. Do not be surprised when people do not listen to you. And let me just ask you, who are you listening to? What do you spend most of your time listening to? Do you listen to the world with all of its anti-Christian messages? Or do you listen, really listen, to God and his truth? Be careful, brothers and sisters, who and what you listen to. Do not let yourselves be led astray by the spirit of error. So the message is very simple this evening. Test the spirits. Do not believe everything that you hear. Do not be gullible. Cultivate, as it were, a healthy Christian skepticism. Test what you hear against what Paul calls the pattern of sound words. The pattern of sound words of apostolic truth. Test what you hear against the core doctrines of Scripture. Like the real humanity of Christ, but we could expand it out, the deity of Christ, the Trinity, the inerrancy, the truth of Scripture, penal substitutionary atonement, the bodily resurrection of Christ. There are other core doctrines against which you can test the spirits to see whether they are of God. And heed the warning, there are many false prophets. Many false prophets who have gone out into the world, but also many false prophets who are still in the church. Be warned. Listen carefully. But be encouraged as well. There are true prophets. True prophets who speak according to the spirit of the true prophet himself, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ only ever speaks the truth. He cannot ever speak error. He cannot. It's impossible for him. And he has said in his word, he has said, I have come in the flesh. I have come down into this world that is full of so much error. I have come into this world. I have put on frail human flesh for you, for your salvation. Believe it. I only ever speak the truth. Believe it. Don't listen to those who deny this truth. Your salvation depends upon it. And by my Spirit, he says, I teach you my word. So listen to me. Just as the Father said when Jesus was transfigured, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. So we too should listen carefully and believingly to whatever Christ says. Let us all do that this evening and in the week ahead. Let us listen to Jesus as he speaks in his word. He has spoken his word, his good, his true, his gracious word. Let us listen to him. And as we do so, we will be enabled to properly test the spirits and to discern truth from error. Well, let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are the true prophet and that you do only ever speak the truth. And we pray that you would help us, therefore, to listen to you as your word is truly proclaimed. Keep us, we pray, from believing and falling into error as these false prophets whom John speaks against had done. Lord, guard our hearts that we may listen to you and believe your truth. We thank you that you have indeed come in the flesh, that you are the God-man who has come for our salvation. And we delight to listen to you. There is no one better, no one we would rather listen to, because your words are true, they are good, they are full of life. And as we listen to you, so we know you and enjoy life in all of its abundance. And these things we pray in your name. Amen.